WIPO Green Platform has been one of the major success among efforts that try to improve access to IP-protected clean tech. One major reason for its success comes from the respect for IP. And another major reason is that WIPO is providing this mutual platform for technology owners and access seekers to know each other, to build relationship. So I'm very happy to see the success of WIPO Green. And I think WIPO is doing a great job in this initiative.
The global market for clean energy technologies will be worth around $650 billion US a year by 2030, more than three times today's level, if countries worldwide fully implement their announced energy and climate pledges. The most well-known examples of clean technology are electric cars, solar panels, wind and wave energy. Today, Joy Yang joins me to discuss her book, Climate Change, Sustainable Development, and Clean Tech, A Pathway for Developing Countries. Welcome, Joy, to the Pinch Points podcast. I'm so pleased to have you here to speak to us about your book.
Thank you, Liz. It's my pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
When you were writing this book, who did you have in mind would be your intended audience?
I wrote this book with policymakers and technology innovators and IP practitioners and IP scholars in mind. The audience I have particularly in mind to address are indeed the policymakers in developing countries who are focusing on addressing climate change, building sustainable development through innovation. For the audience in developed countries, of course, I'm focusing on the policymakers whose mission is to motivate technology transfer to developing countries for them to address climate change and to build a sustainable development.
Okay, noted. So for all those policymakers out there, please listen up. In looking at the table of contents, Joy, you've divided the book into three different parts. Part one of the book focuses on international clean tech transfer. In looking at that section, how do IP rights play a significant role? And do they indeed enable international clean tech transfer to the developing countries, as you mentioned?
So for intellectual property right in the context of climate change and the sustainable development, there are two aspects of functions that IPRs can play. The first is about its ability to stimulate innovation. Clean tech innovations are similar to innovations in pharmaceutical technologies. Intellectual property protection, especially patent protection, do stimulate investment, especially in complex clean technologies. For some sectors of clean tech, the fundamental technologies were already being produced and have been in the field for a long time. So some of them are already in the public domain. So the new innovation tend to be incremental innovations, improvements over the fundamental technologies. So IPR's power over these incremental improvements of existing fundamental clean tech cannot be that strategic. But in other clean tech fields, for example, for the carbon capture and restoration technologies, and for certain agricultural bioengineering technologies that can facilitate sustainable development or help to adapt to climate change, we still need fundamental breakthroughs. So for these clean tech sectors, in order to generate the needed fundamental breakthroughs, then you need mechanisms to attract investment for R&D IP rights then is one of such mechanisms to attract such investments, then IPR is playing more important roles for these complex clean technologies. The second role that IPR can play is about access to key clean technologies. Okay, so that's the part probably developing countries are most interested at this moment. For technology transfer, there are formal venues such like international trade, foreign direct investment, international technology licensing. For these formal venues, through my research, I have concluded that IPR is there to help attract foreign direct investment and to facilitate international trade and facilitate technology licensing. Okay, so IPR is playing a positive role there, the presence of adequate IP protection. Of course, for technology transfer, we have the informal channels like imitation, copying, reverse engineering. For these informal technology transfer channels, strong IPR protection, of course, tend to deter us ability for countries to do so. However, majority of technology transfer, especially about transfer of complex advanced technology, tend to occur through the formal venues. Therefore, in that sense, IPR should be playing a positive role for enhancing clean tech transfer through the formal venues.
You mentioned that there are mechanisms. How can developing countries best leverage those mechanisms?
So inside the competition law regime, what I see that especially developing countries, of course, all jurisdictions have the freedom to do so, is to leverage means available inside the competition law regime to address access to essential technologies, okay, such as essential climate change technologies. So I see there's two ways to do that. One is that the jurisdiction can define an expansive objective for the competition law. So usually competition law is set up to promote and maintain healthy competition in the market to protect consumer welfare. However, a survey shows that many countries, they also expand the objective, the coverage of their competition law to protect social welfare, to protect public interest. China recently, even in its latest amendment for its anti-monopoly law, even included promoting innovation as part of the objective for competition law. So if a jurisdiction can have an expansive coverage for the purpose of the competition law, access to essential technology, to clean essential clean tech can be included in the coverage. So that's from the design of the competition law's purpose. Then the practice level, the abuse of dominant position scrutiny offered by competition law, try to regulate anti-competitive behaviors such as unilateral refusal to license, restricting access to essential facilities, excessive pricing. So all these are included in the difficulties, challenges that some jurisdictions complain that they have encountered when trying to access clean tech from IPR owners. So by using the abuse of dominant position scrutiny available in competition law, countries experience these challenges when trying to access needed clean tech, can examine whether the technology owner, is having anti-competitive licensing practices, therefore to improve the access to the technology. So that is why I emphasized that besides the mechanism available in IT routine for improving access to clean tech, the tools available afforded by competition law regime, which a country can unilaterally decide, can be used also to improve access to technology by addressing the anti-competitive licensing practices in technology transfer.
Now, moving the focus to global clean tech, I'm wondering if we could talk about what it takes to build domestic clean tech innovation, and if you could outline the necessity of its development.
I'll be happy to. So let me start from the necessity front. This book is arguing that besides international clean tech transfer, we should also expand our focus, our emphasis to include global clean tech transfer. So necessity comes from two fronts. We are talking about sustainable development that needs to be implemented by each country in our community. And climate change is a transboundary issue. Every country needs clean tech to address climate change, to do the mitigation work, the adaptation work. So we need clean tech to be available at every corner on this earth. Each country needs clean tech. So that's an obvious situation. What differentiates clean tech from pharmaceutical technology in general is that clean tech needs to be locally appropriate. That means the technology we use need to adapt to the local climate, local ecological conditions. That means that the clean tech, even if it's coming out from external, it's a foreign clean tech, it still needs to be adapted to local conditions. But because clean tech needs to be locally appropriate, it can also be argued that it's best that the technology is homebound. It's coming out of domestic innovation, therefore, it's adapted to the local climate, ecological conditions at the first place. Also, different jurisdictions, they have their own development priorities and capacities. Certain technologies from foreign countries may not fit into the current development priorities, capacities of a developing country. For example, if a developing country's priority is about developing climate-adapted agriculture technology, then agriculture technology developed for a totally different climate condition won't be helpful to this particular jurisdiction. So because of these arguments, this book is saying that we need to encourage local jurisdictions to look into how to build their own capacity for developing local clean tech innovations.
Perhaps now we can move on to your proposed solution. If you could highlight the advantages and the potential challenges that we might face in looking at such a solution.
Yes, we'll be happy to. The reason I engaged the book is because developing countries have been trying to improve international clean tech transfer. That means transfer of advanced clean tech, mostly owned by developed countries, to developing countries. And that emphasis, that effort has not been very successful. So I looked into why this emphasis has produced a very limited result. Then I realized, there are reasons from both the lack of certain capacities in developing countries and the need to strengthen efforts by developed countries to offer support for clean tech transfer. So my proposal here is to say that one, we need to continue the effort on improving international clean tech transfer. But second, the addition into that emphasis. The book suggests that we need to enable domestic clean tech innovation by developing countries. So this is a push beyond merely clean tech transfer at the international level. So the proposal for enabling developing countries to build domestic clean tech innovation is a pathway. The pathway has three components: international aid, first step; second, mutually beneficial international clean tech cooperation; third, domestic clean tech innovation. So I envisioned this pathway for the least developed countries, okay, because these countries is at the low end of the ladder for clean tech development and has experienced the most challenging in terms of getting proper clean tech to mitigate and adapt to climate change. So in this pathway, I suggest a tailored approach. LDCs probably should focus on getting sufficient international aid for their capacity to use foreign technology to address climate change. Then for the mid-tier developing countries, even emerging markets, the second phase, which is mutually beneficial international clean tech cooperation, should be emphasized. By mutually beneficial international clean tech cooperation, I'm suggesting that we need to address clean tech owners' interest in protecting their clean tech ownership and in getting just compensation for their technology. So here I emphasize that IPR rights should be respected in order to motivate technology owners to further invest in the technology breakthrough we need for addressing climate change, for building sustainable development. Here I propose that we need to emphasize creative collaborative IPR management. Instead of just pushing IP rights aside, we need to find ways to have an access model that secures the technology owner's IP rights, but also enables the access seekers to have proper, wholesome access to the IP protected technology. So here, when I say wholesome access, that includes access to the undisclosed know-how that is not available in a patent, right? That is very much tied to the technology owner. So how do you have a wholesome access to the entire know-how that enables the adaptation, the implementation of the foreign technology? So therefore, that why I emphasize the access needs to be conducted in a mutually beneficial atmosphere, and IPR issues should be addressed creatively and collaboratively. Then the third leg, domestic clean tech innovation. Here I say that, you know, the LDCs, the mid-tier developing countries, after they build up their capacity for clean tech transfer and domestic clean tech innovation through international aid, through the mutually beneficial international cooperation, then they can emphasize domestic clean tech innovation. So here, emerging economies among developing countries such as China, India, Brazil, they can focus on this aspect. But even with this focus, this book still emphasizes mutually beneficial international clean tech cooperation in order to share the innovation and to build further domestic innovation. So the advantage, of course, is that by expanding the emphasis beyond international clean tech transfer, yet I spread the weight for technology innovation into individual countries' individual jurisdictions. Of course, this seems to be an idealistic, inspirational goal, right? Asking every country to enable its own domestic tech innovation. But this is a necessary goal since we want to build sustainable development globally. We need to address climate change, which is an issue everywhere. No country can escape. So by expanding this emphasis into domestic clean tech innovation, emphasizing that mutually beneficial international collaboration, I envision that more clean tech owners will be motivated to participate in international clean tech transfer. If we are able to provide creative, collaborative approach addressing ITR issues instead of just trying to remove it or minimize IT protection, okay? So these are the major advantages. So to address your last question about potential concerns for the proposal of enabling domestic clean tech innovation through this three-stage pathway. So concerns were brought up by colleagues, audience, when I was talking about this project. The first top concern or objection brought up against this proposal of domestic innovation by developing countries is that some colleagues envisioning a global innovation system where developed countries being the innovators and the developing countries being the producers and the consumers of the innovations generated by developed countries. I have reservations about this model, this global innovation system model. One is that it creates perpetual dependency of developing countries. And I do not consider that perpetual dependency healthy for developing countries. Secondly, is that the very limited international clean tech transfer, which is emphasized since the 1970s, demonstrates to me that this kind of model does not seem to be successful because so far the clean tech transfer from developed countries to developing countries over the past 50 years has mainly been through a handful of emerging economies such as China, India, Brazil, South Africa, etc. Clean tech transfer to the majority of developing countries has been extremely limited, even to a non-existence. So I do not think this dependency model will work for the long run and has not demonstrated to be working. And the second major concern brought up is that while this proposal is emphasizing pushing for developing countries' own innovation capacity, generating their own clean tech innovation according to their local ecological conditions and local resources, this concern is talking about the global value chains, saying that this kind of model goes against this practice of global value chains. So my argument here is that I do not oppose to the global value chain. However, in order for developing countries to participate well in the global value chain, developing countries still need to upgrade their production capacities. In order to update their production capacities, they still need to build up their local capacities in producing engineers, capable labor forces. All these capacities fit into the building up of a domestic innovation system. It's part of building up a domestic innovation system. So even to maintain the global value chain practice, we still need developing countries to build up their local capacities for being a good, solid producer consumers in the global value chain. So I do not think these two are in conflict with each other. And the last important concern brought up by my esteemed colleagues is that I'm proposing that developing countries to build up their domestic innovation capacity in clean tech. However, a common challenge that developing countries are facing is about brain drain, the exodus of skilled human capitals from the local jurisdiction. So such exodus of skilled human capital, of course, will have an immediate negative impact on the local jurisdiction's capacity for economic growth and building up of its domestic innovation capacity. However, the current brain drain does not necessarily mean that it will always produce a negative situation. When high-skilled laborers go over to other countries, most often they will bring resources back to the local jurisdiction, either by sending resources, for example, money back to their families or invested in the local jurisdiction. Or some of them eventually will come back to the local jurisdiction. So existing the current brain drain should be a motivation for the local jurisdiction to build up their local capacities. So all the three concerns brought up by my colleagues, I think they further my argument that developing countries should emphasize building up their local capacities for domestic clean tech innovation, for better integration into the global innovation system, global value chains, and for attracting the return of their high-skilled laborers, attracting overseas resources for local clean tech innovation, sustainable development.
Thank you, Joy. What you've highlighted here will incite the policymakers that you mentioned to dig deeper into your book, and for potential future researchers to build and to grow on this most timely imperative subject. Thank you for joining me today and for sharing your research.
Thank you very much, Liz, for the opportunity to discuss the book. And thank you for adding this very interesting ebook and WIPO podcast to bring us a digital extension of WIPO library.
I hope that you've enjoyed this conversation on sustainable development and clean technology. You can find a copy of Joy's book in our knowledge repository. I would like to take this opportunity to mention that you can learn more about WIPO's work in green technology on our website, including our WIPO Green online platform that Joy mentioned earlier. Until next time and the next page points, bye for now.